He's a ghost hunter, and he had a fan come to Velia that year.
And at that point, Santa like paused for a second. He looked at me. He's like, sure. He's like, you know, I haven't had a DNA test, but I'm pretty sure I'm part Jewish.
This story is dedicated to my grandmother. The one thing that I absolutely hated about the holidays.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Henkin.
This week on the podcast, Ha Ha Holidays, three tales of seasonal shenanigans. And boy, do we have some fun for you.
No, I love these. I love all three of these stories. So the first story is told by an audience storyteller, meaning like she theoretically.
Impromptu.
Yeah. Didn't prepare, threw her name in, showed up on the stage and just was like ready to go. So you can feel her adrenaline. So take a listen to Elaine Pollock's story of Vigilia, a Polish holiday dinner tradition.
Oh my God, what am I doing? So I'm Polish. Who's Polish? So Christmas Eve is huge for Polish people. We call it Vigilia, and we do this big traditional dinner when the first star comes out, and we have 12 different seafood platters for the 12 disciples, and usually by that time I was drunk, so I don't know what else that comes after that, but one particular time, now I'm one of six kids, and we're a huge family, and we're all kind of messed up in our own ways, and I'm always trying to make it just perfect. My cousin cooked everything, and we come over and try to make it a nice time. Well, my sister, my older sister flies in, and she is late for everything, and she went to decide just before Vigilia started to take the dogs for a walk at Loch Raven with my other sister, and the dog got lost, and it's only a little poodle, like not a hiking dog at all. But anyhow, so we're waiting for her. One of the things that you do in Velia is you set a place, an extra place, in case a stranger comes. We always do that, like who's going to come through the door. Well, my brother didn't disappoint this year because he's a ghost hunter, and he had a fan come to Velia that year. And she had like platform boots and sits down. We're trying to like, hey, the stranger came. Anyway, we're still waiting for my sister Carolyn to come. Oh, and she probably wouldn't want me to say her name. My sister to come. And anyhow, she eventually found the dog, but she had to go take it to the vet because its balls were frozen. So, yeah, sucks. So we're down one for Velia, up one with the ghost hunter. And then one of my cousins was coming in, and my cousin has like a boardwalk, a weird little kind of boardwalk to her house. And you know, this is like on a cartoon. One of the boards slapped her in the face. She had to go to the hospital to get stitches. So we have a dog at the vet. My one cousin, bleeding face, for Velia, a stranger that served the part. But I mean, that, I can't wait for what's going to happen this year. So anyway, thank you.
If you pointed a gun to my head and be like, what is the funniest part of this story? I would not be able to tell you, like, whether it's the dog's frozen balls, which I'm sure is not funny.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
no,
and the ghost hunter and his
fan.
His fan.
Yeah.
Fan. Because if a ghost hunter isn't weird enough, then
he's
ghost
got
hunter
a groupie,
fan.
A groupie. That's what it was.
And somebody hitting with a board. I mean, this thing is like pure genius slapstick from like start
it's
to
joke
finish.
After joke. And it, yeah, it's so well
my
told.
God. My God, it's so rich. So rich. So this next story is shared by Evan Serpik, who, as he says in the beginning of the story, is a former editor of the Baltimore City Paper. And I think it just really demonstrates how journalists really manipulate their families in order to, you know, for professional gain. So take a listen.
Happy Hanukkah. It's the sixth night of Hanukkah for those of us counting at home. And I'm going to tell a story that takes us back 9 years ago. 9 years ago, I was the editor of Baltimore City Paper. Dearly departed Baltimore City Paper. And if you remember City Paper, you remember that we like to rate things a lot. And not just like books and movies and TV, but also like drugs and sex toys. And we had just done a whole issue trying to find the coldest beer in Baltimore, which was a lot of thermometers. And anyway, so we were getting ready for the holiday issue, and I was trying to think of stories that I could work on or that might be fun. And I had an idea that I could take my two sons, who were 8 and 6, and were raised Jewish, to all the mall Santas in town and have them rate the mall Santas. And of course, they would rate them on a scale of 1 to 8 Hanukkah candles. And this was really I think they would be perfect candidates to do this because my kids really knew very little about Christmas. They, were raised Jewish. We never had a Christmas tree or any of that. And I distinctly remember when a few years earlier, when they were 4 and 2, we went to the Baltimore Streetcar Museum just to go to the Streetcar Museum. It's a great place. And it happened to be during the holiday season. And what I didn't realize is that during the holiday season, the Baltimore Streetcar Museum has a special treat where they take the streetcar up to the North Pole, which is actually on Falls Road, where they keep the big piles of salt. And so the kids all get on the train, go up to the North Pole with their lists and their cameras and their parents, and it's something they look forward to. And Santa comes on the streetcar, and he ho-ho-ho, and he hands out candy canes, and he asks each kid what they want for Christmas, and they take out their list, and they take pictures. And we were not prepared, because we did not know what was going on. And so my kids were just kind of like staring around at everything that was going on, and Santa like gave them candy canes, because, you know, they were kids. And so they had no lists. They didn't know what to do. So, but for years after that, whenever they would see a Santa on TV or at the mall, they'd be, that's the guy that gave us candy. So they liked Santa, but they didn't really know a whole lot about him. Our biggest fear was that our kids would sort of ruin Christmas for their friends and talk about, you know, how Santa wasn't real. And we got at least one very angry call from the parent of a traumatized toddler about that. But so it was 4 years later, and at this point they knew who Santa was. They had the gist of the gig. So we started our exploration of the mall Santa phenomenon. And we started at Towson Mall. And I have to say, I was very excited. I was 40 years old. I had never met a mall Santa. We go, and there's a little sign on the chair that says, Santa's out back feeding the reindeer. He'll be back in 5 minutes. So we're like waiting, heavy with anticipation. Santa comes out, and he's like walking on a cane, and I like take out my camera, and I start snapping pictures, and one of the elves is like, no pictures. Which really only elevated the sense that we're really meeting a celebrity. But, you know, Santa was very welcoming, and the boys came up, and they kind of sat on his chair and, you know, asked them what they wanted for Christmas. And Jack said for the first of many times that he wanted a remote control airplane. That was like his desire that year. And Benny, my younger son, was the one who always kind of broke the news that, you know, he said, you know, we're Jewish. is that a problem? and at that point, Santa like paused for a second. He looked at me. He's like, sure. He's like, you know, I haven't had a DNA test, but I'm pretty sure I'm part Jewish. And my first thought was, no fucking way. Wait until my kids tell their friends that Santa is Jewish. I will get a lot of calls at that point. But, you know, we went home and we did our ratings, and that, you know, that was, I think Santa, Towson Santa got like 6 out of 8. Benny was also very concerned about the Santa's chair and if there was room enough for him, because he, you know, they're not really built for 3 people, so he would slide off, and he downgraded a Hanukkah candle for that, so I think it was his. Our next Santa was at the White Marsh Mall, and, you know, Santa was a little younger then, had like a dark gray. I was very impressed that they all had real beards. I don't know, I just, as a kid, I just assumed that that was all strap-on, but these were convincing Santas. So we went up, and Benny had nice room on the chair and everything, and Jack asked for his remote control airplane again, and again, Benny had to break the news. He said, you know, do you celebrate Hanukkah? That's the way he asked it that time. And this Santa was very enthusiastic, and he said, absolutely, Santa's an ecumenical guy. And my kids were very confused about that, but I was impressed with Santa's vocabulary. And everybody was pretty happy. We rated him 7 out of 8 Hanukkah candles. Nice, roomy seat for everybody. Friendly, everything was good. The next one we went to was in Kenilworth. And now Kenilworth is actually a mall that we'd been to because we love the train garden there and Italian gardens, pizza, lots of attractions. But we went to that Santa and, you know, we waited in line and we get in line and, you know, it was at this point we're sort of used to the drill. And the kids hop up with Santa. And, you know, he asks him what he wants for Santa and what he wants for Christmas. And Jack, you know, remote control airplane. And at this point, Santa eyes widen and he looks at the guy behind the camera, who's, I think, like a buddy of his. And you could tell that these guys were really into remote control airplanes. So the first thing he says is, well, if you're new to the hobby, you should get an RTF. Which I learned is a ready-to-fly remote control airplane, not one that you build yourself. And soon enough, he's taking out his Santa's taking out his phone to show us pictures of their recent trip to the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio. And Jack is bewildered by this. And then, you know, Benny, at this point, Benny was, you know, again, a little sick of being the bearer of troubling news. But he said, you know, we're not Christian, we're Jewish, will you still bring us presents? And, you know, Christmas, Santa was distracted by the whole airplane conversation, so he sort of stammered and he said, yeah, sure, we'll get your presents. you know, but really wanting to get back to the airplane conversation. So, you know, we left that one. And at this point, I have to say, I was starting to feel kind of bad about this whole project. Like, you know, it was very awkward for them to have to press their faith on Santa day after day. And, you know, I kept thinking of it like a smoking cessation program where, like, you smoke cigarette after cigarette after cigarette until you never want to smoke a cigarette again. Like, my kids will never want to meet another mall Santa. So we decided to just do one more mall Santa at this point. And we went to the Mondawmin Mall. And I have to say, it was a good one to finish on because I've since found out something about the mall Santa at Mondawmin. His name is Santa Luke. He's the only black Santa that we met, and he was just amazing, just the friendliest, kindest Santa you'd ever hope to meet. And he spent a lot more time with the boys, and he sort of took them aside and talked to them, you know, quietly for a while, and I asked him later what he talked to them about, and he said, well, he asked, you know, what we wanted to be when we grew up, and how was school and our favorite subject, and it was just a really nice encounter. Jack told him he wanted to be a wrestler. Turns out Santa was a big wrestling fan, so there was a whole conversation about that. And, you know, Benny, of course, popped the question. you know, we're Jewish, is that okay? He said, oh, yeah, we'll bring your presents. There's plenty of room on the seat for Benny, no problem. So we wound up giving him 8 out of 8 Hanukkah candles. And also, he, like, invited us all up and took a picture with us, and it was really a good one to finish on. But suffice it to say, we have not been to a mall Santa since, and I think I don't think we ever will. But anyway, thanks again, and happy Hanukkah.
Oh, God, I love this story. And what I really love is that when I reached out to Evan, I was like, hey, do you have a holiday story? He's like, I don't know. I mean, I have this one, and I was like, It's hands down one of my favorite holiday stories that we will ever have.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I wonder what the young Benny, the youngest kid's memory is going to be of, like, having to ask that question.
You know,
we're Jewish. Are we still going to get hooked up? Yeah. We'll bring you gifts. Yeah, we'll get you your gifts.
I love the part where the Santa gets really preoccupied with
my gosh.
What was the toy? It was like
a remote control airplane. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So well told.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you can tell that Evan has such a good heart because he does start to, like, question who he is and what he's doing. Like, you know, but he perseveres.
Yeah, it was worth it. The exploitation, I feel like the means justified, the end justified the means. Okay. Before we share our last story for this week's episode, we will take a quick break.
Okay. So this is a story from Ty, who goes by the stage name
This is the Ty. Second, because the first story they shared was about getting an awful sweater, remember?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is a story that really where Ty, who is a Baltimore-based comedian and just is a wonderful human being.
Let's just play it.
Yeah.
To begin my assault on Christmas, happy holidays, everyone. Now, I really do love the holidays, and I love Christmas. I love everything about it, the music, the movies, the celebration, the gifts, and most of all, I love spending time with family. So in that sense, this story is dedicated to my grandmother. The one thing that I absolutely hated about the holidays. You probably thought that was going in a different direction. But no, like, okay, so hear me out. I loved my grandmother, but I hated her at the same time because she was the worst when it came to Christmas. One, she never got you anything good. It was nothing that you ever asked for. It was things like a partially used McDonald's gift card. And I didn't even know that that was a thing. Or just a card that said, I love you, and so does Jesus. Which I guess is a pretty important takeaway. But no, she was terrible. She didn't drive, so we had to go all the way across town to pick her up to come all the way back to the house. And I just wanted to open my presents. And then when she got there, she had to be helped up the steps. The nerve of her to need help. And then once she got into the house, she needed to eat the turkey butt. Which, why is that a part of the turkey? But before she did anything else, somebody had to go give her the turkey butt. And then she would sit there and eat it, and we hadn't eaten for 2.5 weeks. But she got to eat the turkey butt. And then finally, we would get presents from her. And the one thing that she was consistent in was spelling my name horribly, horribly wrong every single year. And I know what you're thinking. They, them, Ty seems pretty simple to spell. But spoiler alert, that is not my Christian name. My first name is actually a lot more difficult to spell. Just ask my grandmother. But she never spelt it right, and it pissed me off, or like upset me. I guess I was a child, so I didn't say pissed off. But it pissed me off to no end, and my mom would not let me correct her at all. And so one year, we were filling out cards and tags for the gifts that my mom brought for my grandmother, but said was from us. And so I took a pen and just wrote my name really big on the tag, all capital letters, so she would know how to spell my name next time. And then I gave it to my mom, and she promptly threw it away. And then she had me write my name smaller. Even though my grandmother was the absolute worst for Christmas, there's still things that kind of make me laugh when I think about it. After everybody gathered and we like said grace, we always had to like go and get my grandmother her insulin because she had diabetes. And I didn't know what diabetes was. I just thought that it meant if you didn't have Pepsi, then you would get really mad at my mom. And not come over ever again. Once I grew up, I realized that that was just a fun game that they were playing called passive aggressiveness and childhood trauma. But no, my grandmother, she loved Pepsi, absolutely loved it. Would not drink Coke, would not drink diet Pepsi, just straight Pepsi. Pepsi and insulin all the time. And then she always had one of us make her plate for her. And I would give her like reasonable size portions. And she would be like, no, take that back. And get a second plate if you need to. And I would just look at my mom like, are we going to pretend that grandma doesn't have a problem? Cool. And then she would want gravy on everything. But she didn't call it gravy. She called it gravery. And the first time she did it, I was like, did grandma just have a stroke? But then she did it again, and I was like, okay, this is just what we're doing. Okay. And again, my mom would not let me correct her. So we just also had to say gravery. The worst. You all agree now. I see it. But my grandma was killed in 2020. I know, right? Look at that. And not by COVID, unfortunately. But we did lose her in 2020. And it wasn't until that point that I realized how much I loved her being around during the holidays. Because when I was little, I thought she was just mean, right? But then when I became an adult, I realized that she was just old. Because I'm old now too, and I hate children. And I also will drink nothing but Pepsi at the holidays. But no, I got a real understanding for her in my adult years. And I miss her a lot. Because there's no one else in the world that will ever say gravery again. Except somebody might take that home tonight and use that. But more importantly than that, I realized that no one is ever gonna misspell my name the way that she did. And I miss that, actually. I miss the way that she screwed up my name. And I realize, as Jessica said, I am a trans and queer comedian, and I'm in the process of doing my gender affirmation journey. And I realize, as I get further and further into my journey, there are less and less people out there who know me, or the me that was before the me now. Less and less people out there that know how to misspell my name. And that's the one thing that I miss about the holidays. So like I said, this is a story dedicated to my grandma, who I miss so, so much. Thank you.
I thought she was mean, but turns out just old. Oh my gosh.
The Gravely, like, oh, I just, everything about it. And just like also just this ability to at once like recognize all the faults and the things that make the grandmother a hard, complicated person, but also seeing like ultimately the love. And,
oh, and missing the person because they did these things that even though they annoyed you at the time, no one will ever do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ugh. I also really like when people just lean into how much they paid a family.
Yeah.
Because most of us are like, well, like, I know that she was dealing with a lot, or, you know, she had a hard childhood, and I just love the unabashed, like.
I hate.
And then, which I think allows you to then come around and later see you. And I don't know. I love it. Love it. So, yeah, we hope you enjoyed these stories, and we are wishing you lots of ha-has this holiday. You can visit our website at stoopstorytelling.com for lots of holiday stories. Listen,
4,000. 4,000 stories.
4,000 stories.
Insane.
Yes. And we want to thank Maureen Harvey, who has been with us for a long time on this storytelling road.
Goodness.
And we will be back soon in the new year, which is going to be a great year.
Well, we don't know because we're recording this before the election.
I know. I'm always the optimist, and Jessica's always like, nah, it's going to be terrible. We'll see you then. Happy holidays.